702.
Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Let's walk the talk.
Time now to take a look at the relationship between political party funding and corruption in South Africa, with all the events unfolding at the Zondo Commission of Inquiry, not just this week, but, you know, over the entire duration of the Zondo Commission thus far. I thought this morning would be a great time to take a look at the relationship between how the funding of political parties the influence that leads to leads us to the state that we're in terms of corruption and lack of governance and lack of accountability. To help us unpack all of this and have this conversation, I'm joined by editor of Maverick Citizen, Mark Haywood, and I guess we'll use his article on this very issue that was published on the 24th as a springboard into our conversation. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Mark. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Rafael, and thanks for having me.
You know, Mark, you begin the article by talking about the fact that President Cyril Ramaphosa is delaying the implementation of the Party Political Funding Act, and the fact that this delay is actually having real-time consequences and a huge impact on the sustainability and the functioning of our democracy. And can you explain or convey the urgency of the situation we find ourselves in?
Yes. Well, as you said in your introduction, you know, our democracy depends upon political parties. Political parties are central to it. We vote for political parties. Political parties go into provincial, national legislatures. They form the government and they have immense power. But one of the problems that we have is that we actually don't know who funds the political parties that we vote for. They're not under any obligation to publish who funds them. They're not under any obligation even to publish their annual audited financial statements in the way that companies, for example, are. So it leaves political parties very, very vulnerable to manipulation, to people buying their favors.
Yeah.
And I think our history of state capture is testimony to that, because what we've really been seeing at the Zondo Commission in relation to the ANC, but not exclusively the ANC, is that in order to raise funds, political parties use their power over tender processes with the expectation that they will get a kickback which will go into party coffers. Now, that's problematic, but also problematic, as we've seen, is that the kickback doesn't just go to the political party. It often goes to the politician or the government official who's involved as well. So, you know, for these reasons, civil society, first of all, began probably a decade ago to put pressure for transparency around party political funding. There were a couple of court cases. And eventually, in the wake of a constitutional court case brought by an organization called My Vote Counts, Parliament in 2018 passed really quite a revolutionary act. And it was passed by 85% of Parliament to open up transparency around party political funding. I'm very happy to talk about what that act says,
exactly,
if that helps.
And please do so, Mark, because you call it revolutionary and you say that 85% of Parliament voted for it and civil society came to the party by forcing the issue and forcing the matter. And yet it is where we've reached the end of 2020 and no real movement on it, despite the president signing it off earlier this year. And that was his first big, I think, the president's first big, or one of his first big moves, or once he took over the presidency. So why, you know, detail for us what is entailed in this funding act, but why the reticence from political parties and government?
Okay, so first of all, what's entailed in the act? The act does a number of things. One of the things that it does is that it requires that any donation over 100,000 rand is disclosed to the Independent Electoral Commission. Another thing that it does is it says that no political party can receive donations from foreign governments or state-owned enterprises. And we know the problem that we've had with state-owned enterprises. We see it every day at the Zondo Commission.
Yes.
It also says that no political party can accept a donation larger than 15 million rand. And it requires the political parties publish their, or supply their audited financial statement annually to the Independent Electoral Commission. So the Independent Electoral Commission, for good reason, because it oversees our elections, is also now by law required to oversee the funding and the transparency of party political funding. And I think, you know, it's not a perfect law, the field weight, and there are critics of it. Some people say the threshold of 100,000 rand is too high. Of course, the political parties say it's too low.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it would shine a very bright light, and it would change dramatically our politics. Because now, if I'm a voter and I vote for a party, I can match the words of a politician with who is funding his or her party and see whether the two are in accordance with each other, because often you'll find that they're not.
Exactly. So
that's the act. Now, Parliament passed it in June 2018. President Ramaphosa assented to it almost as soon as he became president in January 2019. And when he assented to it, I think it was a signal, because it was one of the first things that he did to say, listen, the game changes with me. I'm Mr. Anti-President, Anti-Corruption.
Sure.
But then for some reason, none of us really understand, it's been 2 years since he assented to it, but he has not taken the next step, which is to say that the act is operational as of this date. And now we have local government elections probably 6-7 months away in 2021. We have the Independent Electoral Commission, by the way, which says we're ready.
Yeah.
We put in place all the institutions, the mechanism, we're ready to do this. And President Ramaphosa is sitting on it. So, you know, that's why we're asking these questions.
What are the other excuses that have been put on the table as to why President Ramaphosa is sitting on it? You've just laid out the fact that, well, they don't have the IEC to use as a scapegoat because the IEC is ready, willing and waiting. Does Home Affairs factor into any of this at all? Are there any other departments that we are being told the government is waiting on?
Well, that's a red herring. You're right to mention Home Affairs. It's been suggested that Home Affairs needed to make amendments to some of the regulations in the Act and resubmit them to Parliament. Well, that has been done. But in fact, as I say, it's a red herring because that is not necessary to bring the Act into effect. And the IEC have said that. And as I wrote that article, you know, I spoke to a number of people and people in the know say that's just not true. So there's no excuse. What we think is happening is that all of the political parties, and I include here the DA, the EFF, and the ANC, like the theory of this act more than the practice.
Mm-hmm.
So they could vote for it in Parliament, but when it comes to biting the bullet, they've all got something to hide.
Yeah.
And so none of them are pushing it forward. And some of them, Paul Mashatile, for example, from the ANC, has said that the threshold is too, the 100,000 rand threshold is too low, it should be higher. So we know that behind the scenes, there's a pushback that is going on.
If you could just separate two issues for us, Mark, which is, you know, how does this, how does a party political fund, the Party Political Funding Act, intersect with calls by, you know, as you just mentioned, Paul Mashatile, with calls by certain politicians or political groups for funding for political parties to be increased, whether from the IEC, but through other mechanisms, so that ostensibly political parties don't have to go to the private sector or to donors to keep going, right, or to campaign and hold elections internally. How does it intersect with that? And then on the other hand, how does the reluctance to implement the Party Political Funding Act also intersect with the cynical way in which political politicians fundraise for their political parties, but then in fact seem to receive money privately or are receiving money privately for their own needs and ends. I mean, just coming out of the Zondo Commission this week, allegations or findings that the state security deputy minister Zizi Kodwa received money from EOH, the IT company's director. Yeah. And his defense is that no, this was not money from EOH itself, but from into my personal account and from a personal account of an employee or director at EOH. What would be the difference? So can you separate those two issues for us?
I'll try and try my best. on the first question, the Act recognizes, and for good reason, political parties are the central pillar of our constitutional democracy. So the Act says that government should do more to fund political parties directly. And so the Treasury and the Minister of Finance has said that the amount of money that goes to political parties will be increased by a formula when this Act comes into operation. Because it's likely, let's be honest, these private donors are funding political parties because they think they can manipulate them often.
And influence,
so if they can't influence, they probably won't fund, which means that political parties may not be able to fund themselves. So somebody has to step in. And the Act proposes that the government steps in.
Okay.
Secondly, what the Act also does is it creates something called I've forgotten the exact name of it, but a party political democracy fund.
Mm-hmm.
So that donors who are genuinely interested in funding democracy rather than getting a particular result from a political party can put into a general pot, which is distributed to political parties, rather than saying, I'm going to fund the DA or the ANC.
So that would be the represented political parties fund that they're proposing, or the multi-party democracy fund. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. So I think, the Act, The people who drafted the Act looked at best practice around the world. It has considered these issues and it makes a plan, which again is why I would argue that there isn't reason for delaying it's being brought into operation. So that answers your first question. I think the second question is more difficult because, as you've said, what we've seen coming out of Zondo is that, and it really is a problem that, this way of raising money through kickbacks has become, somebody who works for the Zondo Commission said to me, it's become the DNA of our political system and that there's a rottenness at the heart of it.
Sure.
And as you said, somebody will say, okay, give us, I'll give you a tender, let's say, for 100 million, but give 5 million that can go to the ANC. But then what happens is I'll have a million of that as well. Now that's partly possible because of the lack of transparency. So this Act will not do away with corrupt politicians, but I think it will make corruption, it will narrow the space for corruption. That's how I would read it. And I think the more we can narrow that space, the more it will allow authorities and the police and the NPA to concentrate on concentrate on where the problem is.
Yeah, I guess if wishes mattered or counted for anything, one wishes we'd reached this point as a country many, many years ago, in fact, decades ago, as opposed to only 2018. At any rate, let's turn to the phone lines. Dennis is on the line and he'd like to comment on our conversation. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Dennis.
Hi, yes. Now, I'd just like to suggest, instead of this massive expenditure and corruption all around political campaigning, why doesn't the government just give the parties airtime on SABC and on the radio and TV and let that be their campaign? It's ridiculousness.
Yeah, interesting one there, Mark. Is there an ideal model that as much as possible takes money out of politics and campaigning political party elections. We saw what happened with the CR17 investigations, yeah. Allegations in Parliament. Yes, there's a need to convene and for party delegates to come together and reach a consensus. But is there an ideal model that you can point to and say, this is something that sucks the need for extravagant amounts of money out of politics and party politics?
I'm not sure if there's an ideal model, Refilwe, because this is a problem. This is a worldwide problem. This is not a South African problem.
Absolutely.
You know, even in the United States, you've had a Supreme Court ruling quite a number of years ago, which reinforced the right of political parties to have secrecy around private funding.
Sure.
So we're tackling what is a global problem. But there are, in different countries, different best practices that can be taken and brought into operation in our environment. And I think, you know, the most important thing for us is our constitution and what the constitution says about people's rights, about political parties, etc. And as Dennis correctly said, you know, the SABC is a public broadcaster. The SABC has a constitutional obligation in terms of its law. So this idea of how parties get access to airtime through things like the SABC is a very good idea. At the end of the day, we're not going to be able to do away with the need of political parties for an apparatus, to pay for staff, to pay for a variety of things. But we can do things that will greatly clean up political parties. But I'd also say that I think a lot depends on you and me.
Yeah.
You know, the demands that we make of political parties, what we say is acceptable and what's not acceptable, and the questions that we ask.
Mark, do you think, obviously, you point out in your article that, you know, we're quite a ways away from a report or final outcome of the Zondo Commission. But do you think that going forward, if we are to clean up our act as a country and really make headway into developing this country and getting rid of corruption, do you think that any of this work matters or any efforts that we do in this regard matter until the Party Political Funding Act is finally implemented in a sincere and transparent and meaningful way?
Yes, everything we do matters. active citizenship matters. Making our voices heard matters. Phoning in radio stations, contacting your political party, writing to newspapers, raising questions. It all counts because it all builds a wave. And I think we have to just keep on saying what type of society we want. You know, we live in a country that is rich in resources, human resources, natural resources, rich in its traditions and its histories. We have a huge potential.
Sure.
And we all have to take responsibility to protect it and defend it. And I feel at the moment that we're going in the right direction. I mean, Judge Zondo's final report, it may be many months away, but I think it has provided a kind of post-mortem on the last 10 years of our politics. The Party Political Funding Act, I hope President Ramaphosa reads the editorial and hears what lots of people are saying and brings it into law in the next few weeks.
Sure.
That'll be a step forward. But we mustn't give up. There's lots we can do. We all have a lot of power.
Lovely. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Mark Hayward. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good morning.
All right. Activist and editor of Maverick Citizen. That's Mark Hayward.